each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hey, welcome everyone. God bless you for being here. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sharing our Wednesday brain-wrinkling hour of Catholic thought and intrigue and theological, psychological, political discourse. Today, I often like to share topics and thoughts with you that are not time-sensitive. I'm kind of aware that that radio shows are often listened to live, which is wonderful. I'm a talk show junkie myself. I hope you are. It's something to be proud of, my friends. But also, you can listen on things called podcasts, where you download it onto your device, as it were, and listen at your leisure. So that being the case, sometimes if I say today it's very cold outside and you're listening to this in the middle of the summertime, it seems a little strange. But I have to... Exactly. That's the way it is. That's the world we live in. But I have to today because today is January 31st, the last day of January. Can you believe that? Other than that. And for those of you who get my flock note send out, I have to start with something that got my brain wrinkled, and it has to do with the moon tonight. We all have to go outside tonight and look at the moon. It's going to be a blue moon, which means it's the second full moon in January, just making it in by January 31st. So, but it still counts, and so it is a full moon. But not only is it a full moon. Well, and it's also the feast of St. John Bosco, who speaks about a blue moon. And so I got to thank Father Rick Heilman, guy I knew way back in the seminary, and he's a priest up in Wisconsin, and doing a lot of wonderful things trying to strengthen men's faith. I think he's got a blog where I found this called Catholic Men or something simple like that. But anyways, I got to share what he shared because it's so pertinent to today. Makes us think quite a bit. And it's, of course, wrapped in mystery, which is often intriguing. Makes us think how does God try to get our attention? How does God involve himself in our everyday life, as it were? Many, many ways, of course. And can he do so through heavenly bodies and through certain signs in nature? I don't see how you can say he can't. So that leaves open the possibility. Excuse me. So he starts off by explaining the well-known St. John Bosco, Dream of the Two Columns. If you're familiar with especially the Battle of Lepanto and the almost Muslim takeover of Europe at the time of the Protestant Reformation, I've mentioned that part of history. It was the double whammy, if not that Emperor Charles V had to deal with. he was trying to hold his empire together during the Protestant Reformation. He was dealing with some rather weak popes, as it were, and he was also dealing with Islam, Muslims streaming in and trying to kill Christians, Catholics. Anyways, but in that dream of the two columns, he sees the Pope riding on a ship, and he steers the ship between two columns, one with a monstrance representing the adoration to the Eucharist, the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, and another column with Mary. So those two powerful devotions that we hold near and dear to us. And they really never can and should get tiresome. They're deep and profound. And I invite even my non-Catholic friends to contemplate what the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist could possibly mean, and the role of Mary, the mother of Jesus Christ, can mean for you personally. But anyways, he saw the future difficulties of the church envisioned as a ship on the stormy seas. Several popes strive to moor the church and anchor it between these two columns, which arose amidst the dangerous waters. So calm and peace for the church is won only when one of the popes finally succeeds in anchoring the church between the two columns. Well, another St. John Bosco prophecy, or we should call it a religious dream, shall we say, is less known. Less known. I didn't know it until I'm reading here. Which can shed light on interpreting the dream of the two columns. The dream, his second less known dream, goes like this. There shall yet come a violent hurricane. Iniquity is at the end. Sin shall cease. And before two full moons shall have shone in the month of flowers, the rainbow of peace shall appear on earth. Throughout the world, a sun so bright shall shine as never seen since the flames of the cenacle until today. Nor shall it be seen again until the end of time. Wow, those are the words of St. John Bosco. And Father Heilmann continues, here's an interesting insight that might blow you away. This year, there is a rare occurrence of two full moons in the same month, two of these in the same year. When this happens in any month, the second full moon in that month is referred to as a blue moon. So get this, January 31st, 2018, which happens to be today, a super rare event will occur. It will be a super blue blood moon. Wow. Super because the moon is so near the earth. It'll appear a little bit bigger. Blue because it is the second full moon of the month. Not that it's the color blue, but it's just rare. And then blood because it will also be a lunar eclipse. How's that? Okay, that's pretty cool, Father Rick says. But here's the kicker. January 31st is the feast of St. John Bosco. Is God highlighting St. John Bosco here? Well, wait, it gets better. Remember that I said there are two blue moon events in one year. Want to know when the second blue moon event is? Well, it will be in this year, during March, which contains the first day of spring. You know, spring when flowers begin to bloom. And as St. John Bosco said, and before two full moons shall have shone in the month of flowers. Isn't that amazing? Can this be coincidence? What can we make of this? We continue. The blue moon in March occurs on March 31st. What's significant of that date? Well, it coincides with Holy Saturday this year, which commemorates our Lord's descent into hell and is waiting for the resurrection. Not only have I made, not only now have I made all of these connections, concluding with this March, March 31st, and Father Rick is speaking about something he's doing with his parish, I guess, or with his group, or leading in, on his blog. March 31st will be the 90th day of the Nineveh 90 for Life. Nineveh 90 for Life is part of Marian devotion, and it's on that day that their group will be making their consecration to our Blessed Mother. Isn't that a bit amazing? Believe it or not, there's one last thing. St. John Bosco's dream about the two moons in the month of flowers came to him on the vigil of the Epiphany. That would be January 5th, right? Well, that was the same day that I made these connections, the same time I had my Epiphany. So he gives you a little click there to find out more about his Nineveh 90 Days for Life. So he says, I believe the super blue blood moon on the feast of St. John the Bosco is God trying to get our attention, that there is something God wants us to notice related to St. John Bosco. Well, it certainly got my attention. I hope it gets yours. And notice, what year is this? 2018. Does that help? Does that put anything into context of world history, my friends? 2018. Well, let's think here a little bit. What was 100 years ago? That would be 1918, right?
Wow.
Oh, we're getting...
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Indeed. And so after, if you remember 1917, that was when Satan appears, or the prophecy to Pope Leo XIII was given that Satan would have dominion for 100 years. Satan would have dominion over the world for 100 years, according to Pope Leo XIII. 100 years from 1917 would be what, my friends? 2017. You would be right. What year is it now? 2018. Could it be that Satan's dominion for 100 years is coming to, or has come to, an end? I think that is what we need to be hopeful for. And so even Pope Benedict held that this 100 years most likely began with Our Lady of Fatima's warning in 1917. And so Pope Benedict wrote in one of his notes, let's see, this one came from May 13, 2010. May the 7 years which separate us from the centenary of the apparitions hasten the fulfillment of the prophecy of the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary to the glory of the Most Holy Trinity. Isn't that beautiful? And notice how we connect Mary immediately to the Most Holy Trinity. One, to see that her love and her faith unite her to the Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and also to remind anybody who might think otherwise that she is not part of the Trinity. She is human like us, and that she's close to the Blessed Trinity. It doesn't mean she is the Blessed Trinity. And I want this to dovetail into, I'm going to get this a little bit later, but I got to finish this point about the blue moon and all that. But I want that to dovetail into the issue of identity. Mary and the Blessed Trinity. Mary and the Blessed Trinity. Those who don't understand true devotion to the Blessed Mother will often criticize the Catholic devotion to Mary as weakening devotion to Jesus Christ, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. I'm going to say that can be a danger, but only when your devotion to Mary is not really rooted in Catholic Orthodox dogma and solid appreciation of praying the prayers that are associated with Mary, obviously the Hail Mary, the Memorare, the Hail Holy Queen, all these different prayers we have that are directed to God through Mary. You know, when you don't understand the concept of intercessor, you get the devotion to Mary wrong. And I'm going to maintain, and I would love to try to unpack for you, that the divisions between Catholics and Protestant Christians can definitely be attributed to very different appreciations of what that beautiful word, intermediator, where we even get the beautiful word co-mediatrix from, which is referring to our Blessed Mother. And that's a beautiful concept, and I want to unpack that. So, but anyways, there's just a little bit more that Father Rick elaborates on with this day. So tonight, we got to pray that the clouds, as I was driving here to this radio station today, I was looking up at the sky, and there is quite a few clouds up there. Hopefully, it will be clear enough that we can get a good look at the super blue blood moon tonight.
Wow. You just wrinkled my brain, man.
Indeed. I have just a little bit of the spirit that those three kings must have had when they saw that star in the sky that brought them to bring their gifts to the Christ child on Christmas, of course. So let's take a quick break here, my friends. We'll be right back. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDZ. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ, and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Father Tom Coyes here. Happy to be with you. As we contemplate the signs around us, and especially the signs in the heaven, I'm talking about the fact that tonight, December 31st, 2018, there will be a super blue blood moon. So I'm praying that the clouds will separate tonight and we could get a good gander at it. So today, I'm getting a message. Did I say 31st? I said 30th? today is the 31st. And so Oh, I said December. Oh, my goodness. Sorry about that. I'm sorry. Nick, that's a that is not professional of me. I might need to be put into the punishment room just for such
it's
a phone call. Oh,
sorry.
Man.
He's protesting.
Are going to learn to be more professional. That's what you're going to do.
Okay, folks. Show's over. Nothing to see here. Show's... Oh, my God! A horrible plane crash! Hey, everybody, get a load of this flaming wreckage! Come on, turn around!
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't deserve to be thrown in the punishment room and be slapped by Officer Wiggums, did I? No, Officer Wiggums came in to draw your attention to the fact that the host was being thrown into the punishment room. Okay, we got that over with. Thanks, Nick. Anyways, I got to wrap this Blue Moon thing up, which is quite curious. And I guess I have to say I'm a bit of a modern scientific American skeptic when it comes to being able to be confident about prophecies that have to do with celestial bodies. But I'm not dumb, and the idea of coincidences having nothing to do with God's designs is also a dumb attitude to take, or to think that God can't use natural phenomenon for reaching us is quite ridiculous. But anyways, Father Heilman, in his blog about the Blue Moon, he refers to the last book in the Bible, obviously Revelations, and in the 12th chapter, the 12 signs, we find that Satan is being thrown down. And this occurs precisely as the 100 years of Satan's unbinding comes to an end. That's written in the scriptures, the book of Revelation. And this sign of Satan being thrown down after 100 years, the Bible continues, Revelations 12:7-9. Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back, but he was defeated. And there was no longer any place for them in heaven. Obviously referring to God kicking Satan out of heaven and creating hell for them. So the dragon and his angels fought back. That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Look at the fierce battles being waged all around us today. As the forces of death and darkness are panicked, as they see their entrenched evil threatened, as Revelation 12 says, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath because he knows that his time is short. Let me pause there for a second and mention a very spiritual, it's a challenging thing, but I'm going to share it with you too, is when we talk with our loved ones especially, or anybody who isn't close to death, it's obvious very difficult to know what to say to people. But one thing that we should be aware of is that especially good people who have stayed close to the Lord, prayerful, and I'm not saying that they're perfect or never sinned and what have you, but they've done so much and kept the faith, as St. Paul says, I've run the race, I've kept the faith. Know that Satan doubles his efforts at the end of one's life. If you're laying in the hospital or you're at home in sickbed and the doctors give you that foreboding description, there's nothing more we can do. It's a very, very, very difficult thing to hear, and in that time, the devil sees an opportunity to turn your faith, hope, and love and God and heaven, the communion of saints, into even cursing the name of God. So let's be aware of that, all of us, my friends, with our loved ones and for our, obviously for ourselves. Whoa. Too.
You just wrinkled my brain, man.
That is the ultimate brain wrinkling, I've got to say. So anyways, is God calling our attention to St. John Bosco? We could certainly say yes with this blue moon tonight. But Father Heilman concludes his little meditation on that blue moon. He says, as this historic epic battle being waged all around us, we are called upon to be Mary's mighty warriors. This is a battle to regain the surrendered ground of the supernatural. I like that phrase. That's a good phrase. It's a battle to regain the surrendered ground of the supernatural. So we must engage in supernaturalizing ourselves, wielding supernatural weapons. And of course, that leads us to our prayer life, our devotion, and especially time in adoration, time with Mary, time with prayers, the rosary, and so many other powerful prayers. One, I got to share this. Maybe you've heard it, or I got to bring it here someday, the Litany of Humility. It is one of the more powerful litanies that come around. We'll talk about that sometime anyway. But Father Heilman continues, we are supernaturalized when we are completely loyal to divine revelation, sacred scripture, and sacred tradition. We simply cannot break from this, even in the smallest way. God needs loyal and trusted apostles and soldiers. As Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill them. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That's Matthew chapter 5. We are supernaturalized when we seek the amazing gift of purity found in the sacrament of confession. This includes making a real effort to put an end to any repetitive sin that has laid hold of us. And men especially, we have to disqualify ourselves as we fall victim to sins of pornography or masturbation. No supernatural grace found there. The time is now to unchain ourselves from this demonic power over us. Isn't that powerful? The supernatural weapons begin with frequent communion and time and adoration. Recall the two pillars in St. John Bosco's dream. That means the other supernatural weapon for this battle is the rosary. The church, which is comprised of its members, must moor themselves to the Eucharist and the rosary in this historic, epic battle. I like the way he concludes his blog. Let's roll, to quote the guys who took down the terrorists on United Flight 91 on September 11th, when that airline crashed in the middle of Pennsylvania. Isn't that? That's a very intriguing meditation on this super blue blood moon that will happen tonight. Let me move to a few words on the presidential State of the Union address, which I think was watched by a lot of people. A few comments that I think are appropriate. Number one, I've got to say that the fact that President Trump is a bit of a crude speaker in his tweets or even in private meetings of sorts doesn't bother me as much as I don't like crude language and I try not to use it myself, et cetera. But it doesn't bother me as much as it seems to bother so many other people. And here's why. I want to say why. Number one, the people that seem to be bothered by some crude language or less than polished discourse are themselves users of crude language and users of less than polished discourse. So it's a little, whenever I hear some of that critique, it can be, I'm just reminded of, the pot calling the kettle black, which obviously the pot and the kettle are both black. So, but needless to say, let us say someone who's criticizing President Trump for his less than polished rhetoric, let us say that that person is criticizing, is an innocent and a very well polished rhetorician and man or woman of discourse. Even that, I would say, it'd be good if he were polished. But the fact that he's not, there's a positive side to it, in the sense that he seems to have gotten people interested in politics who have given up on politics, and for that reason, it can be interpreted as, I don't know if I want to go so far as to say it's a blessing, but it's not the curse that game ender that some people might say that it is. And it reminds me of something we in the church often say and have to deal with when it comes to less than perfect Christians, right? Catholics in our my sense, but it certainly goes for all different Christian churches too. What we often say is we're trying to get more people closer to God, but we have to get them into church first before we can convert them, shall we say. I think people know that, and that's one of the reasons why people don't like to go to church, because they know they're going to be it's the land of conversion. It's the experimental laboratory of conversion, and people who don't want to convert will avoid walking into a church. The fact that the president is a little crude, as it were, he's getting people interested in politics again, so that you can make a parallel with church evangelization efforts and just simply say that you can't reform politics unless you have people involved in politics. In other words, get them to be interested in politics, and we got a chance at reforming politics. So that being said, but let's take another break, and I got to share a few other thoughts, especially on the identity crisis I think we are living through right now. It's very important. I'm Father Tom Coyes, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We are honored to have Bishop Joseph Perry guest host Winds of Change this Thursday, February 1st at noon on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule, work, or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for being with us. And the winds of change, the hour of Catholic intrigue and mind-wrinkling discourse. Anyways, I promised you a few more comments on the State of the Union address, and I'm aware that priests aren't supposed to talk about politics, but because I'm an Aristotelian, you're going to have to forgive me.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Danger,
danger. No, danger. Will Robinson. Danger.
Yes, I'm going to make a connection that is very dangerous, but I believe it is very important. That is, as I just confessed, I'm an Aristotelian type thinker. What do I mean by that? I mean that Aristotle, when he wrote many of his marvelous works, has a book called Politics, and there he describes many classic political ideas, especially the division of different political systems between democracy and republic and monarchy and oligarchy and all those things. But what is very, very important is that he begins that book on politics with a beautiful connecting point. It's a little bit like the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, of course, Aristotle wrote his things way before Jesus came around. But I say that is because at the beginning of his book on the politics, he says, this is a continuation of what I started in the previous book. What is the previous book? That would be the Nicomachean Ethics. So he tries to get us to think about politics as a continuation of our thoughts on personal ethics. And it's in his Nicomachean Ethics that he goes into the different virtues and how to understand the different virtues. And so he would shake his finger at the modern American mind, and do I need to say it so bluntly? At Thomas Jefferson, who I think even Thomas Jefferson would be sad to see what has happened to his beloved nation that he helped initiate. With the help of God, I might say. I know he believed that. But I'm referring to the fact Thomas Jefferson, because he's probably the most famous one for holding such a strong division between church and state. Now, there can and should be. Us Catholics, as a matter of fact, I think it was Pope Pius IX that included an encyclical on the separation of church and state. He wrote in the time of just after the American Civil War, and he was seeing that the American experiment, which really did have a kind of a radical separation of church and state to a point. It began with the colonies not wanting to be separated. They wanted each of their own colonies so that they can establish their own religious state. But they found that to be an obstacle to the creation of a nation that would be United States. be that as it may, the thing that I want to get to that refers to the State of the Union address, that has to do with this seamless garment. Ooh, I just stumbled on something, my friends. A different way of using the term seamless garment. Those of you who have been around the Catholic circles for a while probably recognize that phrase from a past Cardinal of Chicago, Cardinal Bernardine. He used the term seamless garment to connect the abortion issues to other issues of life. Shall we say, care for the homeless and in general care for the poor. So there's a seamless garment in that regard. And to that effect, my friends, I'm always frustrated when the idea that being 100% pro-life means that you are not 100% pro-poor or try to help the poor. So many of the wonderful people that are 100% pro-life, in my experience, are also very dedicated to doing what they can, where they can, to help the poor. It builds up a religious spirit that spills over into the many issues that we have to deal with. But that the life issue is fundamental, and in a sense, at the head of the line is attributed to the fact that it's a black and white issue, where so many other issues are gray. Let's just put it that way. So here's the twist on the State of the Union. As I said before the break, that I'm not so upset at his crude rhetoric, because it is involving people who have been on the sidelines of politics into politics, and I'm going to say something radical, and I'm going to say something that might shock you to the core, but I'm one who still believes that politics is a noble aspect of life. We are so used to saying they're all crooks. We're so used to saying I don't like any of them. We're so used to saying drain the swamp, even. We're so used to just a very negative assessment of all things politique. We say that, but we don't really believe it, I'm afraid. Why? Because when it push comes to shove, and we need the political apparatus that exists around us to help us in one way or another, we're certainly pro-politics in that way. So, but the identity crisis of America was quite on display. There were some, besides the interesting things that were said in his speech, the topics that he talked about, the thing that caught the attention of people watching on TV, I think, was the stark radical difference between the Democratic side of the House that was sitting and hardly ever got up, and were kind of like sitting on their hands so that they wouldn't clap while the Republicans stood up and clapped. It's no great news to report to you the fact that in the political world we are divided. But I want us to think about that and stay with that thought for a moment. I'd like to call attention to the fact that I don't have to convince you that we're divided. I think that's a given. But what I do want to call attention to, and I think we need to pay attention to, is what will unite us? What unites people? And here's what it's just a common theme that comes to my mind so frequently, and I want it to be stuck in your brain too. Whenever the word unity or united, or we the people, or the common ground, that's another kind of phrase that's thrown around. Whenever those kind of terms are used, I want you to glue the word truth to those ideas. What truly unites us is a truth, something that we all can agree on as true. I said, well, that doesn't help us because truth is relative. And that's precisely the reason why there's division, is that some people will say this is true and others will say it's not true. Well, yes, that is true. But the fact that even the fact that a truth can be knowable, that we can agree on the truth of who we are. I really think that, in a sense, our nation is a very important crossroads. We're somewhat at a we're at a ideological civil war. We're in the midst of an ideological civil war, my friends, and the truth has to win. Truth has to prevail. Ideology is almost a bad word for many people because it connotates just political stubbornness. But ideology in my vocabulary, in my dictionary, is not such a bad word. It all depends on what idea the ideology is referring to. And ideas are great. You could even say the greatest idea is the human person. And that's what we have to start with. So let's take another quick break before. Wow. There we go. Into a break with a brain wrinkle. So that will let you take a little quick break. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You're listening to listener-supported The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. God bless you for being with you. Tom Coyes here, Father Tom Coyes. I'm trying to do a little sharing on reflecting on the State of the Union address and just before the break. Oh, I have to say, I think we missed it in this segment of announcements, but in the previous, they mentioned that Bishop Joseph Perry will be with us here tomorrow on Thursday. And I'm going to put in a little plug. Bishop Perry will be at St. James of the Sag Church at my parish on Saturday, February 17. So if you're out in the southwest side, the Holy Name Society men of Lamont are going to have a little a day of recollection. And Bishop Perry will be part of the day, having Mass. And also Father Dr. Lawler will be speaking to the men, too. Dr. Lawler is quite the wonderful Catholic physician who's at the forefront of the Right to Life movement and the way to deal with pregnancies and rearing of children according to Catholic guidance vis-a-vis and especially regarding the sinful character of contraception. I know you'll be enlightened in many ways. We got to stick together, as it were. So Saturday, February 17th at St. James of the Sag, a day of recollection with Bishop Perry and Dr. Lawler. So what I referred to before the break is that we're in an ideological civil war, and it is very important that we can appreciate that. To me, the distinction between President Trump's presidency and President Barack Obama's presidency, vis-a-vis some of the moral issues of the day, are very important to appreciate. Yesterday, when we were watching the State of the Union address, a couple of the guys were even joking about when is he going to talk about transgender people? You know, something that doesn't really affect that many people, but bringing it up the way many people in the Democratic side of the ideological civil war were in, they evidence a abandoning of classic moral principles that are fundamentally based on an unchanging view of human nature. That is, we don't create our human nature willy-nilly, but we must base our moral reasoning upon a human nature that is apart from us. We receive our human nature. We don't create our human nature. And that is a radical difference. So that ideological civil war theme, I got to come back to that over and over again, because if you don't appreciate that, then all political debate becomes it's a different kind of arguing. It's more like, let's make an analogy here. It's more like children arguing about who's going to get the last scoop of ice cream, and that could be a real important debate amongst children, versus a debate between mom and dad about whether we can afford to buy ice cream because it's more of a luxury item than an essential item. Or even as scientists would talk about ice cream, you might say, is this ice cream the best kind that you can make? Or is this kind of ice cream dangerous for your health? I'm saying that there's different levels of debating about the same thing. And if you don't appreciate the ideological principles behind the political debates that are going on in society today, that were on display in the State of the Union address, you take to or you think about political arguments more like children argue about who's going to get the last scoop of ice cream, instead of arguing about how can we buy more, or should we buy a bigger gallon when we get it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's moved to a different level. And that's what I appreciated about President Trump. He is trying to share it on a different level. And can I say this as well? I'm pretty sure I used this on the radio here a long time ago. But I want to remind you, and I want to encourage you to look at a video. It's on YouTube. If you Google the Hermit of Loretto, Hermit of Loretto dash Trump. Yeah, I guess you could add Trump in there, because it's about Trump. It's a true story of a priest who went to visit Loreto in Italy. Loreto is the town where the House of Loreto is. The House of Loreto is known to be the house that Mary and Jesus lived in the Holy Land. Now you say, wait a minute. Why is the house that Mary and Jesus lived in the Holy Land in Italy? Well, it's because it seems to have been miraculously transported from the Holy Land to Italy to save it because the Muslims were ransacking and taking over much of the Holy Land and destroying so much that was there that angels decided to keep it. Anyways, the shrine of Our Lady of Loreto is has been very famous for many years. So a priest was going to Italy and was going to visit there, and a doctor friend of his said, if you go to Our Lady of Loreto, you have to speak with a guy that lives there now who's called the Hermit of Loreto. This was back in the 1980s, that this doctor told his priest friend. So the priest friend goes to Italy back in the 1980s. He speaks with the Hermit of Loreto, and the hermit says, after they share some pleasantries, of course, and all the rest, he says, there's a guy by the name of Donald Trump who is going to be president of the United States someday. And the priest, who knew the name, because Donald Trump was somewhat of a famous figure with TV appearances and his casinos and all the rest, the priest said, you got to be kidding. That guy's a philanderer and a playboy type rich guy. But the hermit said that, no, he's going to be president and he's going to help bring the United States back to Christ. And I go, oh my goodness. And furthermore, that somewhere along the line, don't know how it happened, whether the priest talked to somebody else, or that the Hermit of Loreto had someone do it, but apparently there's a tradition in the Catholic Church you've probably heard of the Holy Doors, or the Years of Jubilee. That goes back to Old Testament times, the Years of Jubilee. The Catholic Church continues that tradition of the Years of Jubilee, like 50 years, every 25 years, that they open the Holy Doors. There's a set of doors at the front of the Vatican called the Holy Doors, and they're only open once every 25 years. And when they were open last time, someone put a brick. I guess you can buy different bricks either on the floor or in the wall somewhere, and he put Donald Trump on one of the bricks in the Holy Doors. That kind of stuff, again, sends shivers up my spine. It makes me wonder how these mysterious prophecies come through. That's right up there with the blue supermoon, I tell you, my friends. And the fact that Donald Trump is president now today seems to give credence to that Hermit of Loreto back in the 1980s. By the way, that priest said the same thing I kind of said at the beginning when Donald Trump was running. He said, that playboy? I don't want to follow him. But maybe God is using that playboy of the 80s to help us get back to God in some important ways. Let's keep praying. Let's keep thinking. And we'll be back next week. I'm Father Tom Coyes. You've been listening to Listener Supported, The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong. But but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.